Hey guys, this is Cole Liker.
Hi, I'm Neil Collins.
This is Jochen Graf.
And you're listening to the Unused Substitutes.
The Unused Substitutes.
The Unused Substitutes.
Hey there, little Red Riding Hood, I got a problem and it's complicated. Going through change that I just can't ignore the signs. Tear them now, it's so loud it hurts. Hear me fell, hear me how it hurts.
One final touch to be had. Aaron Yeah. Lasso.
Everybody, welcome and thank you for joining us again tonight. You are listening to the Unused Substitute Show. We are your greeting gold gospel, the number one and best source for year-round Rowdies coverage. We are coming at you live on Radio St. Pete Online and part of the Beautiful Game Network. We are presented in part by Roughneck Scarves and Taco Bus. Our Patreon executive producer tonight. This show is not possible without everybody that is a Patreon member. Kevin Vicario is our executive producer tonight. We do appreciate his longtime commitment to the Rowdies, to us. He's a great friend. Can't wait to see you again, as always. My name is Stephen Cundiff. Joining me tonight is the full crew. Assuming, of course, Lilo isn't, you know, destroying something or eating glue. I have Matthew Cox. I have Daniel Andonino. Gentlemen, how are we doing on this night of World Cup glory? Right? That's the thing. We're confident about this, right? Like, super, super confident about this World Cup glory thing?
Actually, now that Costa Rica's line is out, because most of their top attacking players have a yellow card already, and cards from this round carry over to the playoff round. So they've benched most of their top attackers to start the game so that they would have them available for a playoff if it most likely gets there. So yeah, I'm feeling pretty confident, which means at this point, like 51% confident.
What is this World Cup everybody's talking about? I heard, like, you know, they're excluding Italy or something, so I don't think it really matters anymore.
It's like the Open Cup, but a little bit less prestigious.
What's in Italy?
Oh, you know, just the greatest country to play soccer.
I mean, I know it's shaped like a boot, but I heard they suck.
I mean, apparently not one of the 32 best countries to play soccer.
They've only lost two games and won the Euros, and they're still not in the World Cup. The UEFA qualifications are stupid and they need to be changed.
I'm really happy that North Macedonia is now at the peak of being a more important soccer country. I'm like super proud of this strong, independent like nation really pulling their pulling themselves up by their bootstraps. It's a very exciting time in world football.
If I was them, I would simply not lose two games and then it wouldn't be a problem. They didn't ask me, though.
Two games. Won the Euros.
Imagine winning, like, these, like, meaningless little cups and then completely falling flat on your face when it really counted.
Anyway, speaking of falling flat on your face, Hartford, let's talk about Hartford. Those outhouse of a team and those shenanigans.
Oh, shenanigans there were. Yeah, let's talk about Hartford, gentlemen. So, Tampa Bay Rowdies this past weekend, in front of a good crowd, by the way, officially announced above 6,000, had a 1-1 draw against Hartford Athletic. The first goal of the game, Hartford's left defender, Mr. Johnson. Ball kind of like squirts out from a little bit of a cluster kind of thing in the middle of the field. And the left defender just decides to run up the field, take a touch, and smack the thing far post in a beautiful world-class effort in the sixth minute of the game. Yeah, that was unfortunate. You kind of just like Ryan Davis and oh, man, I've suddenly blanked on the other gentleman's name.
Drew Felius?
No, it was not Drew this week. It was like for some reason it's like Jake and then the first last name is F. I don't know why that's the sticking in my head. But anyway, something like that. I apologize to you if you're listening, by the way. You kind of just tip your cap and say, well done. You know, you got all of that ball and more. Congratulations. Now, shoo. but, you know, from a certain perspective, there's not a whole lot you could do about that goal. It kind of is what it is. The Rowdies are able to stabilize things. And stabilize things they do, because obviously Hartford does not get another goal all night. And then the boys make some pressure in the back. The Hartford goalkeeper makes a bit of a bad play, a bit of a weird decision, and everybody's like favorite offensive player this year so far, Mr. Jake LaCava, comes in, causes some mayhem. The ball squirts up and through, and just nice and slowly rolls into the back of an open net. It's 1-1 in the 39th minute. Guys, it's kind of an adventurous first half. How were you feeling at that point? Because the second half was a bit, well, let's put it this way. We tried to play a soccer game. So, yeah, how were your thoughts going into halftime after what we saw?
I want to start a petition to have Athletic removed from their name because there was nothing athletic about that performance. It doesn't take much to flop on the ground and scream, yell, and get what, like four time-wasting yellows. I would love to sit here and credit Hartford for coming to St. Pete and putting in a heck of a performance that was, you know, draw-worthy. And parts of it were, you know, the Rowdies did struggle to completely break them down, which going up within, you know, the first 5-6 minutes is fine. But there, after that, it was just antics. And like, you know, it felt like I was watching, what's his name, Wolniak at Red Bulls 2 for the longest time. Like, but this was worse. Like this, and, you know, it started last year, I saw it, and I made a comment then. But it's just like, this isn't how, like, it's just so frustrating. And I don't know how you can take pride in a performance like that. But anyway, I felt okay. I mean, we've seen this team come back and do things and dominate games. And they did dominate. We just couldn't find the back of the net a second time. But chances were created. I mean, especially, you know, when Lucky and Tejada and came in late in the game. But it was at halftime, I felt okay. I mean, 1-1 is not a bad place to be. It's no different than being 0-0 to me. Like, so I felt fine. I thought we were, like you said, we took over the game, settled it down. If I recall, I think Hartford had 4 total shots and only 1 on target. You know, that's a pretty solid performance that just one worldly beats us or, you know, beats the keeper and we're here. So I'm not too down on it, but especially our third game in 7 days, and that was their second all season. I going into halftime, I felt fine. I thought we could still pull it out.
Yeah, going into halftime, I was relieved to get that goal. I didn't want to go into halftime down 1-0 because that's less than ideal. But getting that goal back, and it was kind of like, okay, their goal was a bit of an unlucky moment. I felt overall in the balance of play, we deserved at least a draw, maybe a lead going into that second and going into halftime. Coming into the second half, I kind of felt confident we were going to go for it. I felt we'd get another goal. By the end of the game, I had realized the only thing that second half was missing was the referee starting off by saying, "I'm Johnny Knoxville and welcome to Jackass."
Yeah. Elvis had a busy second half as the head referee. Officially speaking, 4 yellow cards for essentially okay, so there are 2 yellow cards for fouls, quote unquote, but 3 of them were for various efforts of time racing and not retreating and things like that. Look, we can talk all day about how Hartford non-athletics definitely did their shenanigans to get a draw on the road. Now, that being said, went out to dinner after the game, happened to, while we were there, a couple of Hartford staff members showed up. They met some people. They were all just, chilling after the game. No big deal. Those guys were on cloud 9 after that match.
I thought you were going to tell me you went out to dinner after the match and tripped over a Hartford player on the ground of the restaurant.
Also true. They, as the one guy put it to the people that they met up with, who were like, "Well, what was your thought of the game, or how are you feeling right now?" This gentleman said, and I quote, "We just got a point at the best team in the league. This is amazing." Now, as much as we all laugh about the shenanigans or get frustrated by the shenanigans or whatever, I love the fact that that's like our reputation against a team that, like, we haven't played much of, right? Like, Hartford Athletic, it's been a while since we've seen this team, Mm-hmm. And, to continue to have that kind of a reputation, even with all of the craziness that we've had with our roster, especially in, the back line, center back line, and goalkeeper type shenanigans, to continue to have that level of talent, like, it makes sense that Hartford did what they did. Knowing that, like, they knew they could not play us toe-to-toe. They knew they couldn't do that. And it was very plainly obvious that that was the reality of this match. So, look. Was it frustrating? Was it annoying? Yes. Is it also a compliment? Yes. It's a compliment to have a team play against you that way.
I'd rather criticize us than they can keep their compliments. That it's just so ugly, and like, just play the dang game. Like, I understand what you're saying, but like, it's not fun for anybody. Like, anybody. That game's got to be annoying to obviously play in. Fans can't look at that and say that was a good performance.
No.
We want to, throw everything we have in our possession at them. It's just ugly. And like, I just want to, I don't know. I think they've moved up my like most hated teams now. Like they're like probably in the top 3 now. Cause that was just so frustrating, so ugly and so bad that like, I hope they never win a game.
All right, hold on. I got to know this here, Dan. Your top 3 most hated teams. What are they? I think I know.
are we talking USL or American soccer in general?
Let's go USL.
Whew, I mean, I have my fake hatred of Birmingham, but Red Bulls 2 is up there. I would say Red Bulls 2 is probably they've moved down though because they're like useless. So
they were probably up at the top for a while, but with Walenik gone and with them having scored only 1 goal in like 5 games this year, that goal being scored by Rowdy's Loney, Jordan Adebayo Smith, it's kind of hard to hate them that much right now.
Yeah, let's say Pittsburgh. They're just frustratingly good, and I hate playing them. Let's say we'll throw Hartford as number 2 now. And My third will have, oh, this one's actually, three is number, is pretty tough. Let's see. We're going to go with San Diego. I've never seen him play, but San Diego.
I thought for sure you'd have San Antonio with your favorite head coach there.
They're just so irrelevant to me now.
Just don't play that much.
Yeah, like San Diego is just trying to be a brand and trying to be what Oakland has become, that Oakland already is, that like, you know, I can't stand San Diego, but Hartford is number two and will probably be fast number one if these antics continue.
And I also want to, it's the one thing I have been meaning to tweet about Hartford in the last few days, but I haven't because I forgot the name of the person I was going to reference in here, but I suddenly just remembered it. When did Romuald Pizer get reincarnated from Ottawa's goalkeeper and become Hartford's goalkeeper? That was a classic Pizer performance there.
Man, I hated Ottawa too. Like, that just ignited the old NASL hatred, just burned up inside me, and I was just about to rant.
That's what that game, yeah. That second half of that game felt like an NASL game against Ottawa, like in Ottawa, where you know you're gonna get, they use metric for the stoppage time, and you end up with like 7 minutes American time. It's just, it was all kinds of weird. There was always extra time in like you'd have like two goals and one substitution, 7 minutes of stoppage time.
Yeah, Hartford is they're trash. I hate them. Congrats. I'm going to start a war. They probably don't even have anybody like to fire back on a podcast with their like 900 fans drinking $2 beers because nobody else goes to the game. I'm not worried about it.
The $2 beer. Imagine needing beer.
Yeah.
Okay, Steven, sit this one out.
No, because I know what Steven's referencing, because we were talking about this, and I was talking about it, I think, with Mitchell afterwards. One of their supporter groups were like, oh, well, you can get a lot rowdier with $2 beers like we have. You can't get as rowdy with $5 beers. And I'm like, number one, it's Bud Light. It's basically water. Number two, imagine needing beer to get rowdy behind your team. It's just a nice addition. It by no means is Bud Light required.
I mean, it's Connecticut. They're not really even drinking beer. They're like swirling some fine wine or something, and with their popped collars and daddy's money.
I wonder why I wasn't able to get the Hartford guy on to do Switch the Pitch last week. I have no idea why.
Oh man, it's a mystery. Total mystery.
He was out on his daddy's yacht. What are you talking about?
He actually was directing a movie, so.
Oh, that's right. You did actually say that story. That actually is true, isn't it?
Yeah. He had got it. Well, yeah, I definitely want to do it. And if it's not too late, and I'm like, hey, just let me know what's good. And then never heard back. So, and to be quite honest, this week has been so busy. Okay. Lilo is tearing stuff apart now. And it is Dan that Lilo is tearing apart. But
nowhere.
Gonna preemptively announce that I'm not going to have one ready for Oakland this weekend, in part due because new habits take a while to form. I just haven't gotten in touch with anybody, and I am going to be unavailable for most of Friday and at least part of Saturday. But I may be at Kerrigan's on Saturday night.
I may actually be at Kerrigan's on Saturday night as well, just because. Maybe.
Well,
but
I'm
you
no
know
longer
me.
Going to Kerrigan's.
But you know me. I always, like, you know, say I'm going to go, like, to a social event, and then I just don't show up. So it's, like, very peak Steven at this moment. So.
You do have to dress for the occasion, however, because this is, since it's a 10 o'clock kickoff, it's a designated Rowdy's After Dark. And according to Rowdy's Twitter Champions League runner-up, it's going to be a pajama-themed watch party.
I'm going to be at a wedding prior, so if I end up at Courtney's, I'm not wearing pajamas to a wedding.
Your jeans, you'll be fine. It's Florida.
It's not in Pasco.
It doesn't matter.
We're off the rails. So second half of Hartford, Tampa yes. Bay Rowdies soccer. Let's bring this back.
So I'm going to just say it right now. we got very unlucky not to score a second goal.
Literally unlucky, because they set Lucky up in the exact same spot as the M. Kazana miracle.
Yes.
And he did it over.
Oh, that was heartbreaking.
Extremely unlucky. It's nothing says it's still like the first four games of the season than like 75 chances that close to the goal and not getting one in.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because, like, Tampa Bay Rowdies, right? We end the game with 37 crosses overall, but we only have an accuracy of 13% out of those 37. And, you know, we talked about, you know, set pieces could potentially be a weakness. I mean, we've said it before in the past, but that was mostly defensively. Offensively, we're still good, or at least we should be.
Yeah.
And, like, it was really unfortunate that we didn't get more out of that. But like I said, we got unlucky. I mean, we legitimately got unlucky. They made a couple of heroic defensive plays. And, you know, a lot of good plays, a lot of good offense, a lot of good buildup. Also, defensively, we were solid in that second half. There really wasn't a lot of very good opportunities that Hartford could bring out. Now, man, granted, that makes sense. They kind of bunkered down a little bit in the second half. But, you know, ultimately, 3 points would have been nice. It's early enough in the season that I don't want to say I don't care, but it's early enough in the season that it just kind of is a result like that. These kind of games really stick in your mind when they happen in like September.
Yeah.
But right now, you know, even face it, right? Like right now, March 30th, I'll take the point. It is what it is. Nobody knows if Hartford's going to ultimately be good or bad. It was their second game of the year so far. Who knows? Maybe Hartford ends up being a really good, solid team, and they gel halfway through the season or something. And so that point ends up being or looking, you know, a lot better now than it does in July. Who knows? I mean, there's always a possibility that can happen. It's the USL. Nothing really makes sense in the USL. So, yeah, I mean, let's put it this way. Any other final thoughts on that second half for this past week's game?
It was still the most frustrating 45 minutes of my life, and I hope they figure out the medical marvels to heal them all before their next game, because they were apparently very injured. So good luck to them. I can't wait to crush them in Hartford. But yeah, I think, you know, again, 3 games in 7 days, traveling to and from Atlanta, it plays a factor with only like one main player coming, like rotation, you know, a little heavy legs. It's still early as well. Like they're not, you know, completely fit. You know, you'd think, you know, not midseason form and or shape at all. I'm not going to complain about it. It's especially because we're not like a single table. You know what I mean? Like there's playoffs. So, you know, getting a point where you can get a point, keep yourself going. And results kind of helped us out in the conference as well a little bit. So I'm not really going to complain about it. But I think we're getting to the point, not where we need to panic, but finishing needs to start coming around soon. Other than Atlanta, you know, but even then we should have had like 6 or 7. Like we need to, you know, get the finishing back. Like that needs to be recalibrated.
I'm now checking out flights, because that return game in Hartford is the beginning of July and I'm on summer break, and I'm seriously going to that game with a little vacation time. There's a new airline flying out of Sarasota to Hartford that's like doing like $85 round trip flights right now. And I'm just thinking, maybe, just maybe, that'd be a possibility.
I'll say this, as far as the Dan's comments about, you know, shaping up and finishing better. I mean, sure, absolutely, right? At the same time, we're also one of only two teams that have currently played 4 games that are still undefeated.
Yeah.
like everything.
My favorite thing. Oh, go ahead.
I was gonna say, just like, you know, everything in moderation, a little bit for early season. I mean, there's only out of you know, what we got 27 teams in the league. only 7 teams are currently remaining at all without a loss. You know, like parity, yeah, at this level is such that, I mean, being 2 wins and 2 draws to start the year is about as solid as you're going to ever see. Like, it almost doesn't. I mean, let's be real. It really doesn't get much better than that.
Yeah, I think I'm not talking about like right now. Like, Neil, like when we talked about like the Birmingham game, which is obviously the season opener, Neil said in 10 games, this would be like dreadful. We're getting like we're almost halfway there, right? Like, so I'm not saying I expect like 100% finishing or anything like that, but like, we're getting chances, and soon, in about, you know, another couple weeks, the excuses of, you know, like getting those chances and not finishing at least one of them is going to get a little tiresome. But we're not there yet. We are not there yet. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying panic. I'm not saying this team's crap. I'm just saying something to keep an eye on early was the finishing, but I think we will be fine. I mean, we create so many chances, they're gonna go in. Like, we're still like top of the league in like XG. I'm not worried about it, but it's just something for content and to get people thinking and tweeting that maybe our finishing can use a little work.
Yeah, my all-time favorite thing from the weekend, we mentioned it online, the let's just say the spirit that some of our ball boys have, and that, and I also love that having complimented the ball boy on his spirit, he then found the Twitter account and said, "Hey, thanks for the shout out. I'll be there the rest of the year." I don't want to name names in case they decide not to have him there the rest of the year, but probably my man of the match right there.
Ball boys trolling players, or being into the game in general, is such like an underrated part of the game. Like that's a super relevant thing.
Yeah.
And it's just so overlooked by so many. It's like, guys, that it really does make a little difference at times. Like, you need that kind of edge. Like, you need it. I love it. I absolutely love it.
Someone else mentioned, I forget who it was, they posted a picture of it, after said M. Kasana miracle, same kids right there in the pile with the team, yeah, celebrating in the game last year. Absolutely love it. Fantastic. In my imaginary fan fiction world in my head, this is the same kid that Matt Pickens told to slow down and not to throw a ball in as quickly near the end of a game when he was trying to milk some more minutes off the clock too. But yes, as always, thoughts and prayers to Hartford. I've never seen a goalkeeper die 3 times in one half only to be resurrected and able to continue on. I know it was very, you know, they're coming from up north. It's very easy to cramp in the low 70s temperature with next to no humidity. It happens. God bless them. Hopefully they get some strength and training staff to help them over their issues.
Thoughts and prayers.
Thoughts and prayers.
I don't even pray, and they're still not getting my prayers.
No thoughts. But, Steven, you mentioned hearing some of their coaches or technical staff or whatever, and that just tells you, like, that was their game plan the whole time.
Yep.
Try and get a goal, probably against the run of play. Wait it out. Do whatever it takes. If you could grab another one somehow, go for it. But if you can get out of there with a point, then congratulations on the biggest result in your club's history.
Oh, imagine just being a fan of a small club like Hartford. Tisk, tisk.
Hartford's still trying to imagine fans at their games, too.
Hartford's just like,
now you got me Pendleton's graphics and see what the like I know even Miami's getting fans nowadays, so like, you know what's going on here.
Hartford's trying to figure out what it means to be athletic, let alone trying to figure out, like, you know, what fans are. I mean, their branding obviously is just all wrong.
I think I'm Hartford's version of athletic.
Same, and I'm in a sling.
Oh man. All right. Well, let's hear. So we'd introduced a couple things for the show this year. So let's hit this up. So what was your glass half full takeaway? Matt, I'm going to do you for glass half full. Dan, I'm going to do you for glass half empty this week. So Matt, let's start with you.
Glass half full. I mean, we've talked the game out, and my glass half full doesn't have really anything to do with that. That was a fantastic crowd, and not just the energy from the mob section, but the energy from the fans around the stadium. Like, the midfield section was into it for once. Like, it was a great night at Al Lang. It might have been a, you know, fourth game of the season in mid-March, but the crowd kind of felt like a late season, you know, playoff push kind of crowd. I really enjoyed the evening.
Glass half empty. Oh, I'm good at these if I want to create some content and some tweets. I would say I already talked about finishing. So let's say, like, let's see. I think you could see that it was early season and the tail end of a, like, short week or short turnarounds in games. I think there was a couple of, you know, we were a little sloppier than normal with passes, and especially early, I think we were still, like, waking up, and some uncharacteristic little errors. But I think, obviously, it's going to happen. I'm not really upset. Like, I mean, and everybody's human. We make mistakes, whatever. Like, I'm not trying to harp. But I don't really have a glass half empty, like, because it was a solid performance. I was hoping you were going to give me the glass half full so I could have went on a 20-minute Jake LaCava rant. But since I can't, we'll just, it was just, you know, it, three games in a week, and it's not going to be the last time we do that, early this season. It's going to be, these games are coming fast and furious right now, and, the legs are going to be tested, but then we have, like, summer break in May. So, you know, whatever.
In all fairness, Hartford has not had a home game yet this season. They did average 4,000. Like 4,600 last year, 5,000 year before. In all fairness, but also in all unfairness, screw Hartford.
Yeah, it's funny. You know, speaking of what Matt's saying there about the crowd and the environment, like, I had a buddy that was there. He first Rowdies game he's ever been to, and he's like, "Dude, that was incredible." Like, where's the website to buy stuff? Because I'm gonna buy stuff, and I'm coming again to another game this year, right? Like, you know, on a 1-1 draw, somebody that has maybe watched a handful of soccer games in his life, right? You know, mostly English Premier League games. And he's like, "Dude, this was amazing." Now, granted, it's, I know everybody's out here like, bring him next week. Guys, he lives in Orlando, okay? I mean, I've got an Orlando native, not native, but an Orlando resident as a Rowdies fan. It's fine. It's fine. We're good. But, yeah, I mean, it's, when you can convert people into Rowdies fans on a 1-1 draw, you're showing what the beautiful game is, right? And that's what it's all about. So, what else is potentially beautiful? What else is it all about? Taco Bus. And their proud delivery of healthy, fresh, beautiful, authentic Mexican taste experience to our Florida fans. Just one bite of a burrito, tostado, or quesadilla, and your taste buds will be singing traditional Mexican folk songs. Visit us today at one of our 12 locations, and remember to keep it chido. All right, so USL week 3. What if I told you I have not seen anything USL at all outside of the Rowdies game so far? And our future opponent. Our future opponent plus one game.
you want me to run through some results from last week?
Yeah, because you probably know more about them than I do at this point.
Well, I, at the very least, I have the score page open from USL's webpage right in front of me. Because I knew some of them, but I was not aware of all of them. So going back to last Wednesday when the Rowdies went up to Atlanta and thumped them. The same night, Louisville also defeated Red Bulls 2 by a score of 2-0. There was that whole El Paso-Vegas game we talked about, which doesn't affect the East, but it's just fun to look at a game with 9 second half goals. On Saturday, Detroit and Pittsburgh drew 1-1. Miami and Loudoun drew 0-0. Birmingham hosted Colorado Springs and got beat again in their new stadium, 2-0. Louisville and Indy, the latest edition of Lipa FC, played out to a 1-1 draw. Another draw that probably feels like a win for the visiting team, much like Hartford's draw felt like a win to them here. Memphis knocked off Vegas in Vegas. A little cross-conference action there. I assume Memphis is still in the East, right? They didn't like flip over to the West?
Still in the East.
This year? Okay. Maybe the most surprising result on Sunday, Atlanta United 2 beat Charleston 4-1. Jackson Conway with a hat trick in that game. Dan, I know, was tweeting about it. Like, we might need to give the Rowdies a little bit more respect for what they did in Atlanta. And also, Charleston might be really bad, but also things could be true.
Yeah, I think it's both. I think Atlanta is still bad, but I think Charleston's really bad, which, I mean, it's also USL. You know, that football thing, any given Sunday, is true. You know, like, any team can come out here, and we've seen some really crazy results at crazy times, and that's why you play the game. But I think after that result, I think you can ask JD, especially, like, Jackson Conway can, you know, do some things, and the Rowdies, you know, stranded him on Guian Island and couldn't get through Connor Antley airport security. I don't know. I don't have any more analogies here or jokes, but it was really good, and we should give the Rowdies a little bit more respect for what they did in Atlanta.
You know, it's important to remember, right? Charleston is, you know, they did a coaching change this year, right? Like, it's going to be they've got systems, they've got that they're trying to implement brand new. They've got players trying to get to know their coach and vice versa to figure out what kind of adjustments they need to make in games. You know, like, Charleston's going to be really a weird question mark for a bit here. You know, we've seen over the years, you know, two or MLS reserve or MLS Next Pro, in this case, a future MLS Next Pro team, you know, every now and then they pull like a result out of nothing, right? Like, you could have this like terrible team that all of a sudden just destroys someone and you're just like, what the heck? Quite honestly, it really doesn't affect either team in the long run. Like, this doesn't really say anything great about Atlanta. It doesn't really say anything horrible about Charleston. Sometimes you just get weird results, especially in this league. So,
yeah, I think, what was it, Neil said something last year, and part of it's COVID related, and part of it is the way the schedules are set up. But it's like, you know, the first 4 or 5, maybe 6 games, don't try to draw any long-term conclusions from it. You know, we have preseason, sure, but, you know, just like the Rowdies, most of these teams are playing League 1, League 2 college teams in the preseason. This is still basically getting up to game speed for teams that are at or about your level. It's going to take a little while, and maybe having a couple games early on like the Rowdies have is going to get them there a little bit quicker, which will be nice. Yeah, looking at Charleston right now, they're currently sitting 11th in the East. They won their first game of the season, 1-0 over Tulsa. The next week they traveled up to Detroit in Detroit, and then went to Atlanta and lost 4-1 to Atlanta. So they're off to a rough start. 3 games, though, it's hard to make any like definite judgments about them.
Am I wrong in recalling last year Orange County was absolute hot, steaming garbage for the first quarter or third of the year?
And they got really good near the end and carried it over to the playoffs. Exactly.
Yeah. So, like, let's not put too much weight in, in March games. And there's a joke in MLS, like I think it was LA Galaxy or a team, or maybe it was Seattle. They don't really start playing until the summer because results don't matter. Right. And it's, you know, like, you can look at the team, you can see what things need to be worked on, but, like, don't hit panic buttons. Don't think you're, you know, a top team. Let's get through the early months here.
Yep. Should we take a look at the standings?
Yeah, why not?
still a little goofy right now. We've got some teams with four games, some teams like Hartford, that was their second game on the season. So kind of a weird sample size. But right now, Louisville's on top. Three wins and a draw, 10 points. Rowdy's right behind them, two wins, two draws, 8 points. If the Rowdies had managed to hold on or gotten one more goal for a win, then they'd be level on points, but would have be, you know, ahead on goal difference. So, you know, right there at the top. Pittsburgh and Loudoun, 2-0-1, 7 points on the season. Tulsa and Memphis both have 6 points. Tulsa's two wins, two losses. Memphis with two wins and a loss. And then Detroit City is your last team in the top seven for the playoff spots right now with a win, a draw, and a loss sitting at 4 points. Miami FC, same situation. Atlanta United 3 points off of a win and three losses. Red Bulls 1 win and three losses. Again, one goal scored on the season by the Rowdies. I'm going to add that to our table. That gives us plus one and an extra plus one in the goal difference. So we're good right there. Charleston Battery, like we said, in 11th, a win and two losses, 3 points. Hartford, Indy, and Birmingham all have a draw and at least one loss and are at the bottom of the East with 1 point apiece.
I think right now, so we were talking about, like, you know, don't draw conclusions from, you know, early games. That being said, you can absolutely lose a, like, you know, call it a top three seed playoff in the first third of the season. You can't win it, but you can absolutely lose it. And
yeah, you can.
And one thing that's noteworthy so far, and the thing that I'm looking at the most of anything that I've seen so far, is Birmingham Legion. Two losses and a draw to start the year. Two of those games at home. Two of those games are all three. Either way. You know, that's kind of surprising. Now, granted, I mean, it's, you know, you play the Rowdies, you play Colorado Springs, you play Tulsa, right? Three playoff quality teams from last season. It's pretty heck of a you know, hard stretch of games, even in the middle of the year. But two losses and a draw, and they haven't looked great. 2-0 to Colorado Springs, 3-1 to FC Tulsa. That's a big question mark right now.
They're just doing the fans a favor to make sure nobody has to travel there in the playoffs.
I mean, okay.
Nice. Very nice. All right, what do we got next?
I don't know. What do we got? Champions League bracket, or is there any league news?
I don't know. Is there any? I saw something. I didn't talk about not paying attention to a bunch of USL stuff. I saw there was a statement issued by the league and Monterey Bay FC regarding the racial abuse of one of Monterey Bay's players, Hugh Roberts, former Charlotte Independence player. What? Does anyone know any more details about this? Were they playing, like, who did they play? Who was it against? Was it a fan of the other team? Like, what the hell was this?
I didn't see anything other than the USL statement, but it was on social media, I think. It was social media abuse. I don't know. If I recall from the statement, I think it was social media abuse, which, no matter what, I don't care where it is, it's disgusting and shouldn't be tolerated.
The Canadian national team, there was online abuse of
one maybe that's what I'm saying. I'm getting them too confused. I don't know. This is the problem, right? We have to put too many statements out for abusive and racist behaviors. Just
to keep track of all the online racism is what you're saying,
right? It's just disgusting. Like, I we've had this talk too many times. Just stop. And there was one really drunk guy in front of me in the mob on Saturday that wanted to start that wonderful P-word chant on a goal kick, and I instantly yelled at him, and his friend, his also extremely drunk friend, was like, "You're gonna get kicked out." And I was like, "Okay, good." Immediately said it once, and that was it. So, like, that's what needs to happen. This policing, stop it. Like, I don't have any words. Just stop. Just be nice to each other. Like, it's just a sport. First of all, it's just a sport. And they're humans playing sports. Just chill the F out.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm still trying to find information. I can't even see who they were. Oh, hold on. I might be able to figure it out here. They were playing Oakland, and Oakland's got kind of a Hugh Roberts scored the game-winning goal in the 90th minute. You know, maybe you've got some visiting fans because it's Oakland, but Oakland kind of has that background that's not what they're about. I'm kind of surprised if that's. I mean, I shouldn't say it. I should not say that I'm surprised by anyone of any fan base dealing out racial abuse. It's unfortunately everywhere. I guess I'm going to paraphrase the saying. I'm not surprised, but I'm disappointed.
Yeah,
literally. You're right. It was social media. Yeah. Here's the just got the statement. Everyone at Monterey Bay Football Club strongly condemns all form of discrimination and is disgusted by the online hate and abuse directed at Hugh Roberts via social media on Saturday. The club does not tolerate any form of racism, bigotry, or hate speech, and any person participating in this behavior will be banned from our stadium and blocked from all interactions on our social media. So I don't have any more details about that. I assume it's not from one of their own fans towards the guy who scored the game-winning goal for them in the 90th minute, but who knows? I just don't do it.
I've never understood it. Thank God. I've never understood it.
Yeah.
All right. So it's the month of March. And Matt kind of single-handedly did a little thing that turned out to be quite a lot of fun in the end. We had a little bit of a March Madness of various Tampa Bay Rowdies personalities on Twitter. After, what was it, like a week? Was it just 1 week of voting, like the whole thing from beginning to end? Or was it like 10 days? 2 weeks? What was it?
It's about a week, maybe.
About a week.
Yeah, pretty sure about a week.
So after a week, we whittle it all down, and the final voting round was Amy Beamer and our friend Carlos. Carlos ended up with the majority of the votes, and he becomes our first March Madness Twitter Rowdies account person thingy majiggery yippee-ki-yay. So, congratulations to Carlos. Congratulations, Amy. Thank you, everybody, for participating. That was a ton of fun to watch. It was a fun to partake in. Like, it was just that was a cool experience.
I'm not kidding. I posted something about this the other day. Like, this literally started off as a goof. I saw, I'm going to say, tangentially involved in USF Twitter. I kind of lurk, but I don't get roped into too many of the conversations, mostly because I have a very good friend who is in. His name ends up in press releases a lot when people get hired and fired, and I'm not trying to associate myself as having any kind of connection to any of that stuff. But they had put out, because it's March Madness, so there was like USF Twitter March Madness, and bracket with it was like 32 or 64 or whatever it was. So I send Dan a message, and I'm like, we should do this, but for Rowdies, but do it like soccer. We'll have like a group stage, and we'll have knockouts and all this stuff. And I knew Dan thought it was an amazing idea because he would not respond to it. Like, he didn't want to endorse it. He didn't want to encourage me. And usually when this happens, one of two things happens. Either I get the hint, or I just ignore it and keep going. And I was like, nope, I'm doing it. So I'm literally sitting at my desk at work, and it's one of those days where I have some time during the day, and I'm like, all right, let me come up with 32 names. And I'm going to be honest, there was a top seed for each group. I did one seed the groups, and then did kind of a rent. So I came up with about 50 names. and I cut it down to 32. And I spent some time with the last couple ones switching, and I'm like, this person, and it literally was just like gut reaction. And I'm like, got to get this person in, or who's someone I could take out. And so there's a list out there. There's like a Europa League of Rowdy's Twitter thing. And literally just as a joke, just to have some fun, I thought to myself, this could either like tear the fan base apart, or everybody would have a blast with it, or maybe a little bit of both. But no, I was kind of blown away. We had 1771 Designs jumped in and offered a shirt to the winner. Morgan offered prints of photographs. Issa offered a print from her shop. She's giving one away to both Carlos and Amy for their valiant showings. And literally just had a blast with it. But then we get to the game on Saturday, and we're at Corrigan's. Dan and I are over there, I think, before you got there. And you're running into some people, which, number one, like, honestly, I know some of the Twitter names better than I know faces. And started getting some questions about it. And they're like, oh, how'd you come up with this? And how'd you make the choice for names? And it kind of hit me while I'm talking to people. Like, some people were just like profusely thanking me for including them in the contest. They're like, you know, I've only really kind of been around for a while, you know, maybe a year or two and stuff. And I was like, man, like, I just kind of did this as a joke, but some people are like really, like thrilled to be part of it. And I was like, that's kind of cool. I enjoyed it. And as happens, once I sit down and start talking to people and have a beer or two, and then a couple Bud Lights and some more beers or two spread out during the course of the game, I start thinking, and I was like, you know, it's kind of cool. Cause I remember, you know, years and years and years ago, is kind of new guy to the fan base, and I would kind of wander over to the mob tailgates, and I'm like the guy on the outside looking in, and I don't, like, I know who some of these people are, but I don't know any of them at all. And you know, the like kind of difficult process it is to like break that first little barrier down and start to like socialize with new people. And I can't think of really anything off any one off the top of my head, but you know, there are fan bases where it's like, you see the same five people tweeting or the same people coming, you run to it if you travel to their stadium or if they travel to yours. And I kind of thought, you know, it's really cool that here we are, what, 11, 12 years in. And like, one of the things that went into my head was, let's get some newer people in here. You know, we'll have groups like the mob, but now we have the casuals. Like, there has been growth in the fan base. You know, we talked to people at the games who were like, oh yeah, I was coming here as a kid, and now, like, now I'm in the stands, you know, I was here with my parents, and now I'm over here in the mob having beers. Like, one of the things with lower division soccer is always like, you know, is this team going to stick around from year to year? And honestly, this is how you do it. Like, yeah, we want to see the team win. But the fact that we've been able to grow this fan base and bring new people in has kind of been, I thought that was a really cool thing, a really cool sign that there's that many people I could have included. And I was like, well, this person's kind of, you know, I see them around on Twitter for, you know, 6 months or a year. And then, but let me get some of these new people in here. And like, some of these people, you know, so there's some that have been around a while, I've been kind of close with, at least online, but getting to know some of these people in person. Especially with the stuff I've been going through lately, and I didn't tell you guys I was going to say this tonight. I'm tired of saying the stuff I've been going through. It's not like it's particularly. Some of you I've told flat out. Some of you, it's probably not hard to guess. My wife and I have split up as a result of the pandemic. And it's not going to lie and say it's a mutual decision. And it's not particularly an amicable one. And I've had, as a result, I've been able to have some new people in my life and hang out with new people and talk to new people at games. And that's been great. And so, you know, the same way some people are thanking me for putting them in this contest, it's kind of my way of saying thank you to you guys for kind of being there, even if you didn't know you why you were there, or even if you were there. But I'm really thankful for that. So it was fun. I figured out variations on this. We will probably do it again at some point next week.
Yeah, I was gonna say like March 2023.
I even have like a like an all media one, because my one rule was it couldn't be anybody who is paid by the team, plays for the team currently, or like their immediate family or significant others. At which point I did disclose to some people that we do in fact get paid for the pregame show now, which is why I didn't include any of us. But the podcast, they don't pay us for that, and sometimes might decide not to pay us for the pregame show if they hear the podcast. So trust us, the podcast is still independent. If you want the silver lining, the let's enjoy this, and then, you know, we got something for you on the pregame show too. But yeah, I'm thinking about doing like an all media one, because there's definitely people. I'm going to say shout out to Michael Taylor, who I literally talked to for a little while at a concert the weekend before, and then just totally left him out of the bracket. If there's anyone who should have been in there, it should have been Michael.
And you shouldn't have let Casey, she's my fiance, and you said nobody, like spouses or anything related to us or the team. Casey in there. You violated your own rule and left Michael out. It's a sham.
That only applied to players.
I am nullifying Carlos's win. It's invalid. Matt broke the rules on his own game.
It's my game. I get to make the rules.
Also, I wanted to jump in while you're talking about being like at the games and like lurking at the end of the mob tailgates before knowing anybody. And you should have taken a page out of my book and jumped on a random trip to Fort Lauderdale, get so drunk. Get so drunk that you don't really remember the people or anything, but you had a great time and there's photos you're not quite sure of. And you did some questionable things on the bus ride home, but it was a good time. And I was in doing shots.
Florida with Jacksonville, are you?
No. The Fort Lauderdale.
I know the Fort Lauderdale stories. texting during that entire trip, including points where you don't remember texting me, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I mean, we're going to have to do an unsubs after dark, and I'll just drink some and tell some of these stories of drunk Dan. That, bus trips.
That should be a Patreon thing right there.
Anyway, Patreon. Let's move on. We have a qualifier I would like to watch. So what else we got?
You want to talk about Oakland?
Yeah, let's talk about Oakland, because we're going to see a former Rowdy player as the head coach of Oakland Roots. Juan Guerra is... He was hired in as the head coach for Oakland this year. 2 years? No, he was hired in last year.
Two former Rowdies players.
This year is his first year.
No, he was hired on this year. Okay.
Was it?
Yeah. They also have a Derek Conrad on the roster.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's good. Gonna get there. That is your head coach. Tarek Morad is a captain, well, part-time captain and center defender, of course, with Oakland. By and large, not a ton of names on that roster that I recognize previously. The only real time I think we've ever played them, if I'm not mistaken, was last summer. That was the 3-0 demolishing that we gave them at Al Lang right after they were on this like 6 or 7 game unbeaten run, and we just absolutely annihilated them at Al Lang. It was a great night. Oakland's last game out this past weekend was a 3-2 loss to Monterey Bay. Now, everybody's going to look at that result and go, well, Monterey Bay is terrible, so how bad is Oakland? Well, keep in mind, there were a lot of set piece goals in that game. Like, there was very, very little good build up attacking that led to that 5-goal craziness. So it's kind of one of those just wacky results from two, like, basically pretty poor teams. Oakland has not looked particularly impressive this year in general. But then again, they're kind of going through what Charleston's going through this year. And anybody that, and like Indy, anybody that has like a new coach is going to struggle at times. Like, that's just a given. So, you know, it's, you should feel confident if you're a Rowdies fan coming into this week against this team, even on the road. I mean, obviously the Rowdies have significantly turned around our road woes from a few years ago. It's now kind of a thing of the past almost at this point. But yeah, Oakland has not exactly stormed the fort with anything impressive this year. So I would expect a pretty dominant possession performance like we've had for most of the games this year.
I hope so. I mean, I haven't watched any Oakland, and I'm actually curious too, because I'm a big fan of Juan. Like I said, his jersey's like hanging on my wall right behind me, and I'd like to see what he's doing there. But like you said, I don't expect results immediately. I don't think you can just come in, get hired, and then, you know, run the league. But he's building something, and I think, you know, Oakland's also new to the league as a whole as well. So like, they're building something together, which is great. Last year, like you said, they came in hot and it was a little bit of a worry, and we just dominated them. So I feel like it's going to be, hopefully it's going to be another vintage Neil Collins Rowdy's performance of minimal shots on target, like maybe one or two shots allowed on target, if that, maybe five shots total. And then the Rowdy's just dominate the midfield, move the ball. And I'd say it's probably going to be like a 1-2 game. But I think it'll be one of those dominating performances by this club.
Yeah, taking a look over the roster, the only other names that I vaguely recognize besides Tarek Morad, they've got a Montenegrin defender, Emrah Clemente, who I know was in Sacramento for a while. I've seen his name pop up in highlights and you know, team of the week kind of stuff before, and a Polish forward, Darius Formella. Again, I couldn't tell you anything other than I know him. Just tells me it's probably a roster of Western Conference veterans, which means could look a lot like Rowdies versus Atlanta United too.
I'm not going to go that far. But, you know, look, they play a 4-2-3-1, or at least, like, for instance, they did that against Monterey Bay. And in a 4-2-3-1 with four defenders specifically, you're going to see a lot of outside defenders, if assuming that they can possess the ball for any length of time, what that's going to end up looking like is their outside defenders making bombing runs forward. You know, their right defender, Edgardo Rito, his average position for the game was beyond half field as the right defender. And not even by like a small amount, by a pretty significant amount. Like, so that's what I would expect. They're going to clog the middle with those guys. They're going to bomb the wings with their outside backs. Sounds like that's pretty much what the game plan is. It's not anything particularly groundbreaking. So yeah, I would expect a Rowdies victory. So let's do some quick fire guesses for score predictions. So Dan, this time we're going to start with you. What do you have for the final score prediction?
2-0 Rowdies. I think Leo and Lakava are going to score. I think those are my two goal scorers as well.
I'm going to go 2-1. It might look a lot like this week. I think Oakland might score first, but the Rowdies will rally and get the 3 points.
I'm also going to go 2-0 Rowdies. And I'm going to say Dos Santos and Guizzi.
I could see that. Speaking of Guizzi, I know he was in the listener questions. Do you want to go run through the listener questions real quick?
Let's do like one or two.
All right. Dan, do you have it in front of you by any chance?
No, I just brought up the U.S. Costa Rica game on my phone.
All right. So let's see. Here's one from Mitchell. 4 games in, Rowdies have been pretty dominant, only giving up 2 goals. Both were similar spots on the field. Were these just bangers of goals, or does Scarlett need to step in sooner?
Banger. I think they're just banger goals.
Banger goals has nothing to do with Scarlett.
Yeah, I wouldn't put any blame on the defense for either of them.
I say this as somebody that has been critical of Scarlett in the past and has not been called out for it, but like not known for it, but like I've made comments on it.
Both of those are true. I've called you out and I've made you known for it.
Well, yeah, kidding. But I mean, like, I don't want to make the assumption that like somebody thinks that somebody else is calling me out on it, but like, cause you and I disagree on it, but anyways, yeah, neither one of those were him. So well, at least one of them specifically definitely wasn't him. So yeah, no, I'm not worried about it yet.
All right. This one's from, Charlie Arball, semi jokingly, or he says he asked in jest, but I think a little something to it, maybe. Do Seba and Leo hate Jake LaCava? There were multiple chances in the ATL2 game. They could have given him a through ball, but opted instead to keep it. I think they realized that game was the best opportunity for lots of guys to open their accounts on the season. And with Guizzi 3 goals away from breaking the record, tried to get him a chance to get on the sheet for this year.
Yeah, I don't mind in something like that, in a game like that, where guys might be a little selfish, or, you know, it doesn't bother. I think the Cobb is the leading goal scorer. If the two veterans and leaders of this
right now,
what?
He's tied for Golden Boot the entire USL right now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, I don't think our veterans are going to be hating on our leading scorer and the kid who's got him on their back right now.
Wait your turn, kid. You already got 3. Let's get somebody else on the board here. Also, why can we not finish? We look like Amy Beamer out there. We come so close, but can't get across the line. I know you said one question, Stephen, but I had to throw that in there.
That's just rude. I was really looking forward to those Iron Brew Jello shots, and if you just ruined it, I hate you. I it's early. I mean, and you know, tired legs by the time we got to Hartford. I wouldn't put anything into it yet. Let's just worry about it, or not worry about it at the moment.
I'm not going to read it on air, but look up the comment and you can read Amy's response. It's quality.
I'm going to end up having to, like, you know, now I'm going to have to actually go to Corrigan's. I'm going to, like, cover her check as an apology because our fans are terrible. Do you hear that, Unused Substitute fans? You guys are awful.
Which leads to the last question from Mitch. Who's coming to Corrigan Saturday night? I'm going to try to. I'm going to be up in Tampa on Friday doing I'm taking a personal day on Friday. I'm going to be up in Tampa. I'm going to a show at Tampa Theater that night. I'm going to spend some time around town. I'm running in a 5K at the airport Saturday morning with, it turns out, like 4 or 5 other Rowdies fans. So we're going to end up grouping together for that. And then I'm heading back home after that. But as long as I wake up again Saturday, like early Saturday evening, then I'll come back up to Corrigan's, pajamas on hand.
All right. We love yous for this week. I'm throwing a we love you to the ball boy for being amazing and being awesome and being you.
I'll concur.
I'm going to raise and also throw in the like nearly 400 people who voted in the Rowdies Twitter Champions League final. We had a crossover of like Georgetown Twitter from Carlos. We had various sections of Tampa Bay sports Twitter chiming in for Amy. It was the mentions and the notifications were a lot of fun the last week. Let's just say
that. You mean Carlos's bot army? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I don't even care. No.
Earners and everyone else, get involved, make new accounts, keep going.
All right. Well, that was fun and good times. Okay. Well, thank you to Wolfface. Thank you to Radio St. Pete and to Shamrock and Corrigan's for everything that you guys do to support the show. If you are listening, please give us a share, give us a subscription, rate and review the show if the platform gives you an opportunity to. Helps us get our, you know, our thoughts and our comments and our show to people that might want to be interested in listening to it. Patreon is the best way to support if you want to take that even further, because that does help cover the cost of what we need to do to pay for all this stuff. thank you to our sponsor, Roughneck Scarves, the official scarf supplier to MLS, USL, and US Soccer. Get your custom scarves for your group or team at roughneckscarves.com. And if you are tired of the same old uniforms and the cookie cutter templates coming out of Nike and Adidas, and you are looking for a unique, completely custom kit for your youth club, Sunday league squad, adult pro team, Icarus FC can help you create the kit of your dreams at an affordable price. Let them help you design your new custom kit today at IcarusFC.com. Gentlemen, we have a late night Saturday game this weekend. I will see y'all. I'll make an effort. I'll try and be there at Corrigan's. I should be, hopefully. Maybe, possibly.
I'm not making any promises. I think I have an early Sunday. So Casey has an early Sunday, but I think I also have an early Sunday.
All right. Well, have a good night, everybody. And we will see you over the weekend or next week. All right. And y'all have a good one. Go Rowdies.